Amen. Good morning. Well, today's sermon. Oh, I guess I better get my notes out here. That would help. I was thinking about a message for the week, and you know, the situation with my mom. I decided a long time back, just give it to the Lord, because I can't change it. I can't do nothing about it. I can pray and trust and believe. That's all I can do. And I started thinking about this, and I thought, you know, about God guiding our life. And I thought, well, that's a good message or good title. God guides my life. In the scripture, Psalm chapter 37 and verses 23. I'm going to go ahead and read 24 also. So Psalm 37, 23 and 24, when you get there in your Bible, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Get me a drink real quick. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask God and thank you that the reading of your word is so powerful. And God, we ask you today, Lord, to guide us. We surrender everything in our lives to you. We ask you right now to take control of us and to guide us, Lord, in the way that you would have us to go according to your plan for our life. And Father, as I preach this message today, I ask, Lord, that every word will come straight from you, and that, Father, our spirits and our hearts will receive, that we may be strengthened and encouraged. And we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Do you know it is the nature of mankind to think about our destiny and that we have control of it? Anybody ever go through that? You're in control of your own destiny? Right here, buddy. This guy right here. Being a young man, I remember, you know, I had everything planned out. Boy, I had this grand scheme all worked out with, and I thought, now this sounds good. The Lord's going to go with it. Hey, this is going to jive and it will roll. Well, you know what? I found out that my plan didn't work out so well and things didn't go, because what I was doing, I was kind of doing a double thing. I was praying and saying, Lord, have your way in my life. And then I was over here going, okay, now I got this plan, and God, this is what it is. So really, it's like taking a car and hitting up against a brick wall and going nowhere in life. So a lot of times we think that we're in control. We think that our plan is the best. But you know what? The best plan for our life is the one that the Lord has for us. Our parents, when we were growing up, our parents took good care of us. They provided for our needs. They loved us. Moms, hats off to you, moms, because the moms, I've always said, were the rock and the anchor of a family. Because the ladies, they knew how to work. They knew how to take care of the kids as well as knock them over the head when they needed it. But they were always the rock of the family. But our parents basically guided our lives for us as kids, because our parents went to church, they knew Christ, they knew that we were to be raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now, like I said, in our house, my parents didn't go to church all the time. They would throw my sister and I on the church bus. They'd come pick us up, and off we'd go to church. And I thank God for that. You know, some people would say, well, your parents should have gone to you. Well, I'm glad that they made sure I went. Because all the years of going to church, The seed was planted in my life up to the day that I got saved. So I thank God that I had parents that made sure I went, because I learned about Jesus. I learned about His love. I learned about heaven and how glorious and wonderful it was. But I never fully understood or comprehended that love until I became a Christian. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. God guides the steps of His children who seek Him. Now, there's Christians all over the world. There are Christians that they get saved. They have their plan. Now, God gives us a free will. I want you to know that. When you and I were born, God gave us a free will to make choices, whether we would follow Him and serve Him or whether we would reject Him. God does not control us like robots, because, see, He is a compassionate and loving God. So He gave us our own will and our own desires. But God's hope in creating us, God's hope is that we would turn to Him and that we would follow Him and let Him lead our lives. Now, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, what did the disciples do? The disciples gave up everything in their life. They left their families behind so that they could walk with Jesus. They could learn about His ministry. They could know more of Him, that they could be prepared to take on the calling and commandment of taking the gospel into all the world after Jesus ascended back into heaven. So the disciples made the choice in their life to give it all up to the Lord and to follow Him no matter what the cost. Now, you remember, there is a certain rich man in the Bible that he asked Jesus, what must I do to follow You? And Jesus said to him, go and sell all your possessions, give everything you've got, give it away, and come and follow Me. And the man was troubled, and he walked away sorrowful. And I often wondered, was that man thinking, well, how dare him tell me to sell all that I've got? What is he thinking? I've got all this stuff, and he wants me to give all that up to walk with Him and have nothing? That's the human mind thinking right there. That's not the heart understanding and knowing what the Lord's really saying. So that man was troubled and walked away, and he went back to his life, and I guarantee you that he went back to a very defeated life. And that's what I wonder about today in the Christian life. God will guide our steps if we will submit to Him and let Him do it. And you know what? We're still going to go through difficult times. We're going to go through hardships. We're going to face death and sickness and money and things on the job or in the family. We're going to face so much. But as Christians who are walking with God, we are going to be well taken care of, because God knows our every need. And the thing that I really love about God is that God sees, this is my first point, is that God sees the big picture of your life. The difference between us and God, God knows everything. And while we're here on this earth, we don't know our life. We don't know what is ahead for us. We never know what to expect, but God does. So God being all-knowing and God being all-knowledgeable and loving as He is, and for Him to create everything, He knows our life from birth. God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew us. Now, isn't that neat? Here, at one time, I was just this little bitty egg that hadn't even been formed into a life, but God knew me. And that to me is exciting. If God knew me as a little egg inside my mother, then don't you think He could take care of my life? I know he can. If he gave light to a dark world, I sit sometimes at night and look up at the sky, and I'm amazed at the stars and the planets and the solar system. And then I get to thinking about my body and how it's crafted and made. That God made my body. If I get a cut, it heals itself. If I get sick or whatever, that God created my body to heal itself. That all these things take place. And it boggles my mind. But God knew all of these things about me. So if God sees all and knows all, and my vision is very limited, I don't know what's hiding around the next corner. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but he does. So James 4:14 says, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Basically, we don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know the one that holds my life in his hand, and he cares about me more than the birds of the, I almost said the birds of the sea and the fish of the air. He cares more about me than the birds in the air and the fish in the sea. And if he cares about me so much more, and he knows what my daily needs are, then I should know not to fear. I should know to trust him fully with my life. And so the situation with my mom going on, every day, God, she is in your hands. I trust you. I can't change the situation, but you can. So whether you, and I told God the other day, whether you heal her completely or whether you let her go home and be with you, either way, I am fine with it, God, because I trust you. Because you love my mother, you love me, and you love our family, and you know what's best. Even though my understanding may not be up to speed at the moment, God will let me see what he's doing at the right time. See, God has a timeline for our life. God brings things along to our understanding. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes God says, my grace is sufficient for you. You remember when Paul went to the Lord and said, I need you to take this thorn from my side. It wasn't an actual thorn in his side. It's the situations that Paul had been dealing with that had him down. And he's saying, Lord, take this thorn from my side. And you remember what the Lord told him? My grace is sufficient for you. So, if I have my understanding here and I've got God's grace here, you know what's going to outweigh the most? God's grace. And my understanding should be nothing. And all my thoughts on God should be here and his thinking and his ways. His grace is sufficient for me. So, as I live my life, I pray of a morning. I say, God, you take this day. You plan it before me. You guide my steps. You direct me. You put me where you want me to be today. And Lord, you help me to, help me to give. Help me to love, whatever it is. But today, if it's my last day on the face of this earth, then so be it. Help me to love courageously, and help me to love infectiously. And I say that because you know how sickness is an infection and spreads. I want God's love to be kind of like an infectious thing. And I want God's love to spread from me to other people. And I want people that I come into contact, I want them to know that Christ is alive in me and that his love is so real. We decided to take a break yesterday, Janine and I, and we got up, said, you know what? I'm tired of looking at the hospital. I'm tired of, really, I am. I said, so we went to Evansville. We went to Evansville about 3 weeks ago and didn't get to do everything. So we planned our day out and we went and we spent the day in Evansville. We laughed. We had a good time. And we got to talk to some people, and we got to minister in some ways. And there were folks, you know, who would come up to us or be passing us. We was at the Eastland Mall in Evansville, and we were looking at people's faces. And boy, people, I don't know what people are focused on, but some folks look like they've just been dipped in a pickle barrel and then set loose to walk, because they had this frown on their face and their mouths were down and their eyes just... It's kind of like, don't mess with me today or I'll give you a knuckle sandwich. That's kind of the looks. And so when these people, when they look at you, you look back at them and you smile at them. And I'm saying, Lord, if I don't say anything, let your love radiate from me so that they can see. Because see, I don't know what's going on in that person's life, but they know what's going on and God does. Lord, help me to plant a seed in that person's life. So, if God knows the number of the hair that's on our head, according to Luke 12:7, if God knows how many hairs are on your head, if He knows everything about your life, then why wouldn't we trust Him? Why wouldn't we give up everything to Him? Back when I was a young man, I had to get x-rays. I didn't have health insurance at the time. I was young, been working, got out of high school, but I had to get some x-rays done. The Army had sent me home because I had a little small curve in my spine down low. I had to go get x-rays, and I didn't know how I was going to pay for all the x-rays because I didn't have health insurance. And the expense. And if anybody remembers back around 1988, x-rays were not cheap. They just weren't. And so I prayed, and I said, okay, well, Lord, I'm a Christian now. I was 19. And here I was a Christian. I said, all right, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay for all this, but I trust you with it. Because the preacher had told me, give it to the Lord. And he said, when you give it to the Lord, leave it there. Don't pick it up. Don't carry it back with you. You leave it and you go away thanking Him that He's provided. So, okay, I did that. And I said, Lord, I pray You'll work everything out to where I can get those x-rays done, that I can get them paid for, however it be. So I went in, and before I had the x-rays done, I went and talked to the ladies in the x-ray department. I talked to the manager. And turned out the manager happened to be a lady I went to church with and knew very well. And I told her my situation, and she said, well, how much could you pay every week? Because I got paid every week on Wednesday or Friday. She goes, how much can you pay every week? And I told her. She said, that'll work. She said, it'll probably take this long. She said, you do that, we'll do your x-rays, you're good. And do you know that I a lot of those weeks I got to work overtime at work, and I got paid overtime, and I got to pay extra on my x-ray bill. So I would always give the extra money. But one thing I did, and I'm going to get into this next. This is probably one subject people don't like to talk about, but it's about money. But I gave extra in my offering to the Lord. And the Lord blessed, and I got to work overtime, and I got to pay extra, and I got to pay off my x-ray bill quicker than what we talked about. Because I trusted the Lord with a situation I didn't know about, and He provided my needs. But God's eyes are on the righteous. God's eyes are on those who will walk with Him. Now, I've told you before, we sin, we fall short of God's glory, we're God's children, but God loves us more than we know or He could even comprehend. I've heard people say, when I fail God, how in the world could He love me enough that He'll continue to provide my needs? I said, don't question God, just thank Him that He does. Don't question Him. Thank Him that He does provide your needs. Thank Him that He loves you with a love that knows no boundaries. Our God, who sees everything at once, will guide our lives for us if we will let Him. See, we have to come to a point where we submit ourselves. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. That means bring your life to Him and say, Lord, this is all I am. This is all I have. I give it to You, and I ask You now to take it and do with my life what You want. I surrender and submit to Your will and authority, and I will walk with You, and I will depend on You through every situation. Do you know how many people I've talked to in my life that have shared testimonies with me that said, if it wasn't for God, I don't know where I would be right now, or I don't know how I would have made it through the situation that I've been through in my life. You know, I think one of the worst thoughts that I could have ever had was after I got married to Janine. And one day, I was dealing with a friend who had lost their spouse. And do you know, I went home in utter agony and cried my eyes out. And Janine got in from work. She was running a little bit late too, and then that kind of got the worry going. The little worry wheel was spinning. And boy, that devil was just working against me. And she come in, and buddy, I tell you what, it didn't take me 2 seconds. I was in that living room and giving her the biggest hug, and I was crying. She said, what is the matter? And I said, well, this is the situation. And I told her, I said, I don't want to lose you ever. I said, I don't want God to ever take you from me. I don't think I could live through that. What pain. And so see, I was predicting what my feelings and my thoughts would be. And this plagued me for quite a few weeks. And finally in prayer one morning, I said, Lord, I can't keep doing this because my stomach is in knots. Literally, my stomach's in knots. And I give it all to You. And do you know that the peace of the Lord came upon me? And the Lord said, no matter where you are in this life, I am with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Because then this thought came to me. If my wife ever did go before me, you know what? This is what came to my mind. She's in heaven. She's having a good time. And I had peace about it. So see, when we let the Lord guide our steps, when we trust Him fully, God will take care of the situations. And do you realize that in every situation that we're going through, that God wants us to rejoice? That God wants us to be glad? Because doesn't His Word say that? His Word says don't fear. His Word says to not worry. But His Word says so many times, 365 times, do not fear. So don't you think He's trying to get a message across to us that when we're going through the troubled times of our life, He's the anchor that we can hold on to. He is our lighthouse in the storm. And in the midst of any storm, God will take care of us, God will guide us, and God will lead us. Look what happened to the Israelites when they escaped from Pharaoh and Moses is leading them. Moses trusted God to guide his steps. And when Moses came up to the Red Sea, God told him, stretch that rod out over the sea. And God brought a mighty wind that drove back the waters. And God created a wall in the midst of that sea, and the land was dry. And Moses and the Israelites crossed on dry land, got on the other side. When Pharaoh and his army reached that place, they too got in the middle of the Red Sea. And then just like that, God let the wind cease and the waters covered Pharaoh and his army, and they were ruined. And Moses and the Israelites were saved because that's what God promised if they would listen to Him. Now, you know what happens in our life? if we do like the Israelites, you remember when the Israelites were out in the wilderness? Anybody remember how many years? 40. Out in the wilderness, wandering around. And the only thing the Lord wanted them to do was trust Him. But what were they doing? They were looking unto their own self. They had it all together, they thought. And they spent 40 years out in that wilderness. See, God doesn't want you and I wandering out in the wilderness. God doesn't want us to be led astray by the things of this world. The world will promise you so much. But you know what? The world has nothing to offer. The world is full of sin. It's temporary. It doesn't last. It's going to be gone one day. What you and I will have is an eternity. That's why Christ tells us, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That way, when we're living for the Lord here, and we're trusting Him and we're doing His work, He'll provide for every need. And then we're storing for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy and thieves can't break in and steal it. Because it's in the Lord's kingdom. It's in His place. And the day's going to come that when we pass too, or if the Lord comes back before we pass, whichever way, we're going to go and be with Him for all of eternity. And the things that we once knew here, they're not going to be anymore. Now, I have said this jokingly in the past. I said, I hope we have biscuits and gravy in heaven. I do. I love my biscuits and gravy. I do. I like to go to Mary Lou's and get a big plate full of biscuits and gravy and just eat it slow. And then I say that prayer, Lord, what goes past my lips, don't let it stick to my hips. But if God knows all, then we should commit our lives to Him and seek Him daily. You know, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing right now without the Lord. I wouldn't want to preach anything that would come off of me. So praying, Lord, give me a sermon. I've had sermon, and there's probably going to be times here that Laura may not get a text. I may have text Laura sometimes. Well, God didn't give it to me. Walk in here Sunday morning, and God lay a sermon right down on me because somebody say something or whatever. But however God... See, that's what drove me crazy about seminary. That drove me nuts. There are people telling you how to preach, and they're telling you how to have a three-point system and make it all flow and make it sound pretty and then wrap it up with a conclusion, have the invitation, and go home. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like a move of the Lord's Spirit to me. That's a man telling me how I should be preaching. And then they're telling you how to do that. You should always be prepared. Always have a sermon ready. Well, if I had a sermon ready, it wasn't what God wanted me to speak on, then what good's it going to do? So I've learned to trust the Lord. Say, God, You give me the message to preach. Or God, wherever I'm at today, You put the person in my path. I learned that when I chased people down to witness to them, it turned them off. But when I started saying, Lord, You put me in their path and bring them to me, that's when it worked. When God is in control, everything falls into place. When we are in control, there's going to be no harmony and a lot of discord. There's going to be many things in our life that we do not understand because our knowledge is limited. See, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Our knowledge is limited, but God knows best. You remember the show on TV, Father Knows Best? I still love to watch that when I catch it on TV. I always love that good old show. I like the good shows that were clean and pure. But my Heavenly Father, boy, He definitely knows what's best. He knows my life from beginning to end. He knows everything in between. And you know, when I get to speak at funerals, when I preach a funeral, I always say, and I use this every time, I say, well, if you look at a tombstone, there's a date of birth, and then there's the date of death. And I said, those two things have some significance, but I said, what matters most is the dash in the middle. And people are going, what? What are you talking about? I said, because that dash represents the life you lived. What does that dash say about your life? And I would say, this is what the dash meant to so-and-so, whoever had passed that I was preaching their funeral. And I would bring up the things that I knew, that how they lived for the Lord. And I would say, make the dash in your life count. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And the Bible says he will flee from you. Now, I've been through a lot in my life. I've been through stuff I never thought I would face. There's times I thought my head would go under the water and I would drown. But the Lord was my life preserver every time. He always kept me afloat. God has never let me go hungry. He's never let me go without finances. He's never let me go without food, clothing, or whatever. God has never let me down, but God has always been faithful to supply every need. And lastly, God has all power. We are His creation, and we have no power. All power and authority come from God. There are powerful forces at work in this world right now, human and demonic. They try to pull us away from God. They work against man and what man's will and desire is. They try to pull us away from God. And all God wants us to do is commit our lives to Him. The evil forces try to destroy us. But God will always protect us and provide for us. God orders His children's steps, and where He leads, He will be there. I saw the store in Kirkland's that closed, and we bought it because it was the neatest thing. It said, "Where God guides, God provides." And I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful because, you know, the Lord does, you know, He loves us. Sometimes the devil tries to make us think that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love us. But God loves you more than you'll ever know. God wants us to be serious about our relationship with Him. And I really, as Christians, we should examine our hearts and our lives. And our relationships, and we should examine where they're at with Him. And if we're behind, we need to get things up to snuff, and I always say this, we don't need to let our footsteps be in front of the Lord's, but our footsteps should be following the Lord's. Because where God guides, God provides.